In that case, 99316, State of Ohio Trail, Colonel McCleary, versus Dwayne A. Roberts.
You know the other lawyer best. He makes a good lawyer.
He does.
Yeah. He's one of the insurance lawyers that's there.
Participants in this
evidence of that information created an expectation of privacy in the parents of these children and the children themselves that compels recognition by the government in whatever form. Judge Bryant, in the Court of Appeals below, eloquently surveyed the other statutory framework in Ohio that provides for the protection of children's personal information in various other areas, like adoption records, school attendance, and testing records, paternity cases, and the like. And found, as this court did in the Beacon Journal case, that statutory framework, plus the overwhelming compelling governmental interest of the state in protecting its children, creates this expectation of privacy in this kind of information.
Why would you not be arguing more strongly the Cox case, where we somewhat euphemistically coined a good sense rule? Why isn't this an extension of the good sense rule?
I think it is an extension of the good sense rule, Justice Douglas. And it's true that the Cox case founded its rationale on another Columbus case, Kallstrom versus the city of Columbus.
Well, and also that was a criminal defendant seeking information, but I can tell you that it wasn't meant to be limited to that.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I can tell you it wasn't meant to be limited to that in the criminal context.
And it doesn't appear in the sense of being including the Kallstrom decision that it was intended to be limited in the criminal defendant context, because the kind of information that was requested by the, in that case, the public defender in the Keller versus Cox case, dealt with the highly personal information that had nothing to do with the workings of government or the Internal Affairs Bureau or life. This is personal information about the individual, not the police officer. So I don't think it's an extension of Keller versus Cox to say that the same good sense that prohibited the disclosure of that personal information in Keller versus Cox should also apply in this case.
So if we were going to hold for you, we could simply do it by an entry based on the Cox case.
I think not. I think each case requires an examination of the facts. And because you have a peculiar, special relationship in this case, as existed in Keller versus Cox, as existed in Beacon Journal, as existed in Kallstrom, the special relationship requires that you examine first if there's an expectation of privacy, and there clearly is. And isn't that expectation more important?
Now, let me understand. You said it couldn't be done simply by an entry. Haven't we said everything you've just said in previous cases?
I mean,
what else would we add? What do you want us to say in this case that hasn't already been said?
I think I would ask this court to include the language from Kallstrom, which speaks to the possibility of a state-created danger to the children of the city of Columbus, and indeed across the state, if this information of this kind is deemed to be a public record.
So then what you do, you want a syllabus law to carve out this week the safety of children. Next week, we've already done it with police officers. Next week it would be school teachers.
I am less concerned about the slippery slope that Your Honor describes about including other interest groups than I am in protecting the interests of children in this case. I don't think it's a matter of the group that is important. It is a matter of the information and whether or not there is a special relationship between the person whose information is on file and the government, and whether that interest in protecting against the dissemination of that information outweighs the interest of the public in good, accountable, organized governance by the government.
Well, let's look at what I think you are setting forth, although you don't label it that way, is your first proposition of law. The common law of Ohio has recognized a distinction between a special interest and an ulterior purpose in determining the accessibility of public records. That's what you're asking us to say. Now, who are we, and where does it say in the law that we can ascribe to anybody, certainly by case law and syllabus law, ulterior purposes? I don't know what his ulterior purpose is. Do you?
No, I don't indicate in our brief that there are ulterior purposes.
That's what that says.
I say in our brief, Your Honor, that this is subject to question in this case because of the peculiar facts in this case. The res- respondent indicated that the desire for the information was for one purpose, which was emphatically denied by the group for whom he proposed to act under those circumstances. I am keenly aware of this court's prior pronouncements that a government entity may not inquire into the purpose of an individual for the release of public records under the Ohio Public Records Law. And I think this is a perfect case which calls to question why it is that purpose shouldn't be a part of the Public Records Law. Now, I ascribe no ill will or ill motive to the relator in this case, and nor did the court below. The fact of the matter remains, however, we have a sensitive database. And I might say that 25,000 names of children on a computer disk with their medical history given out willy-nilly to anyone who wants it for any reason whatsoever, that is a keystroke away from the high degree of potential victimization of those children.
But you're assuming beforehand that the information will be used in some nefarious way. And by implication, you're saying, well, this person, we're going to rule person by person on whether or not they're good enough to get this information. And if you don't think they're good enough to get this information, then you can withhold it.
Justice Sweeney, that's not our position at all in this case. We don't ask this court to adopt a rule that would require inquiry of the motives.
Why can't you, if the information is misused, why then can you not go against the person misusing the information and prosecute them for that misuse of information?
Well, I think there are two answers for that. The first is that closes the barn door after the horse has been left. The information, if it's misused, is directed against...
But you're assuming the horses are going to leave the barn, though, aren't you?
I'm not assuming that.
Yes, you are. You're assuming this information is going to be used in some way that you feel is improper.
I would not make that assumption any more than if the court in Council versus Columbus or did this court in Taylor versus Cox. And I think Justice Douglas pointed out, and if I'm not incorrect, this court ruled in Taylor versus Cox, this information should be protected not only by the constitutional right of privacy, but also we are persuaded that there must be a good sense rule where such information about a law enforcement officer is sought. And files that contain the name.
But we're not talking about law enforcement officers here.
That's
it's a completely different set of facts. Those the facts in that case have no relevance to this case. That was a particular set of facts that needed to be addressed. This is a type of thing that happens every day with someone who goes up to a clerk at some place and wants the records referring to blank.
And that's certainly true, Justice Sweeney. There have been scores of cases of litigating the issue of what records are to be produced under the Public Records Law. It's true that there's an expectation and a presumption that the records, all records,
and they're all the records are presumed to be available unless exempt by the statute.
Right.
Correct?
I think Your Honor has hit upon the point that there is an exemption already within the statute that takes into account the constitutional privilege to the right of privacy in this particular information. And that's what we are saying here, that the statutory scheme itself need not be struck down because it does accommodate and certainly acknowledge that there is a constitutional right or can be in this kind of information.
And there's always a choice of the people involved that knowing that these records are going to be released, they don't have to join the organization.
That's an option that families could in fact choose, Your Honor, and that would be a sad commentary on our society if in fact we were were unable to protect children's information in such a way as to be able to discourage the providing of these programs to the community.
Is it because... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Justice.
Could the children opt out from providing that information if parents decide that they don't want their children to have that information?
They could, Justice Resnick, but in this case, it would mean they could not participate in this particular program.
The parents could not say, we don't want our children's picture taken or this information, and then you would say, well, then we can't participate in the program.
Regrettably, that is the case. And the reason for that, as regrettable as it sounds, this was not a happy selection or an option on the part of the city. The predicate for this whole process had to do with a very troubled history at the city's swimming pools over the course of several years, declining participation by the public as a result of being unable to screen who was attending the pools and who was not attending the pools. Several methods were tried. This particular process was hit upon, and the results, is undisputed in by all accounts, were absolutely. We would ask that this court reverse the Court of Appeals respectfully and would deny the irrelevant application.
Extension of that.
Thank you, Mr. Gray.
Mm-hmm. As you were, just do it on facts and be done with it. This information is clearly medical information.
Yes.
Therefore, it fits under the privacy exemption or is certainly one of the exceptions in 149.43. Why wouldn't we just rule it that way?
Well, because as I've read, as this court has decided in the law, medical information is information that is collected in the process of providing medical services. That is not the case. This information was
That's
for
accurate.
Individuals. It was not true. Really going by medical information, because information like, well, do you have asthma? Do you have this? Do you have anything that you're allergic to? I mean, that's really stretching to give it the broad band of medical information. Now, to begin with, I was not aware that the city had was collecting information. All I wanted was the name and address, urban kids, you, so I can get you involved in urban scouting. Because I knew they would have to reach the kids that we need to reach most aggressively because they go to those pools. I mean, that's pretty much the resource that they have. That's what I started out. Now, after they denied my request and I did my research, that's when I recognized this is a bigger situation. This database contains much more than names, addresses, and medical information. And to date, no citizen outside of law enforcement, individual outside of Marble City, Columbus, to examine that database. This is America. How can government compile records of hundreds of thousands of individuals? We're talking about 25,000, hundreds of thousands of records on individuals. And not even the individuals that they coerce the information from can review what they had. is possible in America. I don't understand. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a citizen concerned about this. How is it possible? It became bigger than a kid once I moved into the litigation. And I recognize there's big stakes here. And it would not be, if there's not big stakes in my imagination, why they got a attorney general better than McDonald's office? Why they got the legal in 2000? Because they recognize the state. If this body rules in favor of the city and overturn and direct the public record you have done for almost 100 years, you will create two provincials that they can and deal with a handful of individuals, promise confidentiality, and collect thousands of database records on private individuals which they cannot review and can be used against
this
family. That's right, yes, sir.
That's
getting at the
practical issues here, getting at practical solutions to follow this case and knowing that another
discussion.
Do you see any problem with redacting that is keeping
the medical information in that?
As we did in the Akron-Beacon Journal case, we said the city has to give up most of the information requested, but must redact the Social Security.
I see no problem with that. My only concern.
Let me then move to the photograph of the child. I'm not quite sure why that would need to be redacted, but you have a view on
no.
on that.
But since I started, I have a broader concern. And that is, through public statements and other records, the city uses information within that database to prohibit individuals from having access to public facilities. That being the case, those individuals, even if they cannot examine anything, even individuals themselves, it's a broader issue here. Somebody, I believe, citizens have the right to look at what's in that database and see what, in fact, the city is doing. You talking about a system that started out talking about $150,000, went up to a couple $1 million. It's a whole different ballgame. We talk about something extraordinary that's happened here, and to date, no private citizen has not examined it and cannot hold it accountable.
Do you know why some of the children are not allowed to use the facility?
No. No. Nobody knows.
I thought this system was developed because the recreation department was having considerable difficulty with young people, I guess some adults, their conduct at the facilities. And in fact, the record seems to indicate that after the system was put in place, those who were there to use the pools in the facility used them in a much more tranquil way. I mean, they didn't use them in the manner in which they
were.
Is that disputed in the record? We have the record before us. All we can go on is...
I don't know. All I'm saying is that they're the leakers. What that system was done for, because we didn't have proper iron lifeguards. And it's funny how big the challenge, how we grow. They had proper iron lifeguards. At the time, Stephanie Hightower was working for the mayor's office, and was a friend of mine, was saying, well, what can we do to resolve this? I said, well, Stephanie, what you need to do, you can find the kids' names and addresses, you can call the parents and get the parents involved and create one facility. That idea came to me. Now, what this thing has evolved to, once the door was open, they say, villains close to good deeds and well canvas squad. Once the door was open and the city computer had the idea, they put in technology, it went into the whole facility, they start to power the information. That was never intended. What this monster has become, but has not been intended to legitimize it.
Whether it was intended or not is not the issue before. The issue before is not whether the city can do this. That's not an issue with the court of appeals.
Right.
The issue is whether these records, the young folks' records, the children's records, can be made available to whoever wants them.
Right.
That's the issue.
Right. I'm saying there's not just the records in the database. There's children, adults, anybody in these public facilities. What I'm saying is, from my personal perspective, what I thought this fight for was to get those facilities to address the stuff for the Boy Scouts. My concern will be addressed if I get that. I don't even medical information. I don't even photograph. But I'm saying the issue is bigger than that. And if you allow the city to keep those records closed, no citizens can review it, and you will set the stage to any other public official and say, well, I'll do the same thing that they've done. We got two issues here. We saw that on one thing. Yes, ma'am.
What we do is we give you the records, and the next person comes to the city, and there is not a problem or a no record.
because she thinks they're subject to the privacy exemption.
Well, see, they have seen case law. I think under the circumstances, they should be if it's relating to kids, specifically kid purpose, and narrowly so for kid purpose. There would be a little bit of evidence to inquire the purpose. Now, well, because I believe there's got to be a balance between protecting the public interest and kids. And if someone came, and I think there's other things on law where that works in certain instances, if you have reason to think you can question, it's called being prudent. I would just say give it to them in that. And I think if somebody had a criminal record or whatever, I think that's a general reason to stop it under those circumstances. But it's extraordinary. But what we're talking here is about a broad floor. And this issue is not just about the kids. We're talking about a system that was put in place by government where individuals were coerced into giving that information and denied the given access to public facilities. And now they're trying to bend the axis on the banner that we're doing good things to protect the kids.
Let's understand exactly what your argument is with regard to the records. You agree that any medical information could be redacted?
Yes, I have a problem with that.
You agree that any biographical information could be redacted?
Yes, I have a problem. My personal request.
And you agree, as Justice Pfeiffer was going into, that a picture could be redacted?
Yes.
You just want their names.
Yes, that's all I want.
Names and addresses, yes. And
that's it.
Nothing else in the
that's
file.
That's it. That's all I want. Let me get it. That's all I want.
So that the dissent in the Court of Appeals, which indicates and could use the medical and biographical information in the files to subdue the skepticism of an unsuspecting child, is not a problem here because you don't want that.
No, I don't want that. Never did. Yeah, I will go so far as to say, and they will admit it. When I work with the scouting committee, when they brought this issue of confidence gallery, Bob, what was going on, the Boy Scouts offered to pay for the mailing so they can keep their list confidential if they would just mail out the stuff, information to the kids.
So if they gave you a computer printout of whatever it is, 25,000 names and addresses, that satisfies your public records
yes.
request.
Yes, that's my public records request. But now that we're here...
Now you want to substitute a however.
No. I just want to make you clear my point.
I think I understood your point.
What I want to support together, now that we need to become public law and infect everybody in the state of Ohio, and I want to make sure the city can't get away with it.
Well, let's talk about the statute for
yes,
the law for a minute. 1347.01, as you know, says in effect that personal information, privacy status, that personal information is protected. The government agencies essentially can't provide it, can't give it out. There's some tension there with the Public Records Act. Why would even giving you or someone the names and addresses of all these people that have access to the recreation facilities
like
not be in conflict with the privacy status?
Well, because and I believe strongly the law supports this position that people mean to be their own government, but are themselves a part of it. And the power is power, friends. And any time government compiles any kind of records of individuals for whatever reason, all the safety that we have to be able to examine those records and look at them.
What's the danger to children of having the Columbus Recreation Department have a record of their, those who visit the facilities have a record of their name and address? What's the overriding danger of government to that?
Because that database is also shared with the police. And one of the components of the police is the intelligence bureau. And I don't know if you're dealing with a lady that ever dealt with the intelligence bureau, where they react to anything from flat out lies in your window. Now they have what they're going on, which is backed up in the government, the gang task force. This database, these kids' names and addresses are put into these databases. They already got marked against them, they don't know what's going on. Being from the law enforcement environment, being a private investigator, I'm super sensitive to databases and how law enforcement abuse them. And these databases are, in fact, being used by law enforcement. And it is, in fact, being used by the City of Columbus Gang Task Force. And don't tell them what else is going on. This is a problem.
That's very clear.
Yes, sir.
Of course, the same
thing. That's exactly what I'm saying.
whether or not the city has adopted any formal policy, inspections, this data, or in this case, that they simply relied on their interpretation of state law, something wrong, and
the answer to that is,
in other words, did they ever adopt anything
unconscionable
that said, a number of government agencies not only disclose, but I believe they may sell data on all of us.
Hey, Airborne, is that a great point? Any information that most people know that's being sold by our house, they can review it for conscience, for advocacy, and for theft. In this instance, even the individuals that provided the information to the city cannot review what the city has. They can't look at it. They can't update it. They can't correct it. They can't do anything with it. Once you give it to the city, it is theirs. And I've never seen nothing like that happen. So the biggest issue to my request, my needs are simple, but I think the needs for the public are greater, and I think they have overshadowed why I'm here. City government, any kind of government should compile records and force it on government individuals, and we can't do nothing about it. Can't check it out and see what they have. And definitely can't check out what they know.
The reference in the briefs to the fact that the parents were assured that this information would in fact be kept confidential. Does that place any burden on the city to keep the records confidential?
Because that was not done in a consistent manner. They met with a handful of parents at a community meeting. And they bonded their promise to him on dollars. Now, as the city, and I did that, and put on the application, which you have a sample of, all information provided by us to be kept to be confidential, then I can say the city operated in good faith and they incurred the obligation to maintain confidentiality. That, in fact, did not happen. They did not face the overwhelming majority of the people who they were forced to give information to. There was no promise made of confidentiality. None whatsoever. Only a handful of individuals at a community meeting. And that's my concern here. That if this court upholds their position, every public official in the state of Ohio can meet with a handful of individuals and promise confidentiality and make a finding on the matter.
You've used your time, Mr. Drake.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Drake, you've used your time. It may take 30 seconds, 15 seconds to rebuttal.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. I would like to leave the area temporarily for a minute and return to the record, if I may, and ask the court to refer to the appendix number 25, which is, in fact, Mr. McCleary's letter to the city asking for the entire database. I don't know if there has been a conversion in wards today in front of Your Honors or not, but up until today, I've not heard of
that. That's a typical
letter. You said the the city there on its own pitched most of the information and held back some. I mean, they didn't initially say you can't have anything.
That's correct.
That seems to be the posture of the city in this case.
The city in this case has told Mr. McCleary he may not have any part of the database, and I think the case is everything. That's correct. This Court of Appeals below asked and ruled that the entire database in its complete form be given out as a public record. That's the ruling below that we're appealing. Redaction doesn't solve the problem, Justice Piper. It compounds the problem in two ways. One, we're not required to create a special record for Mr. McCleary. It just names and addresses. The second point of it is, under Calstrom, the names and addresses...
Wait a minute. Mr. McCleary or any other citizen, there is a public records law, and you are required to honor any citizen's request.
That is correct. That is correct.
And if that means a whole lot of work, it's just...
That's true.
It's a tough lot.
And we have been through that, believe me, many, many, many times, and I'm keenly aware, and they're not shirking that responsibility. But the law is also clear that we need not create a special record if we don't have a special record. As my point, not disclosing to the court that we have the full information that's required under the public records law to be disclosed. The point here, though, is more important. The names and addresses themselves that Mr. McCleary today says is all he wants is the same kind of information that Calstrom and Keller B. Cox made protected under the public records law.
If I wanted to secure a list of the names and addresses of every policeman in the city of Columbus, made that request, am I entitled to have it?
I think you are. So, yeah.
Fire officers, same thing. Each cabinet member?
Yes, sir.
Each kid that attends a swimming pool?
I'm afraid not.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg. Okay, submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.